Good evening. This is Mae Brussel at KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California. Boy, do I have a story for you tonight. It seems like every year, just around this time of year, there's a major breakthrough in the connections of the various conspiracies, the assassination teams, and the interlinking of the military with the police departments or the Vatican. There's a story in Los Angeles Times this week making the most tremendous connections that I've seen in the past year. And we'll get to those in just a few minutes. What I want to do first is to update you on a few other items that are taking place before we get into that other subject and remind you what we talked about 1 year ago tonight. That was broadcast number 547, May 30th, 1982. This is the time where the researchers connected up with Kevin Coogan, who writes for Jonathan Marshall in his newsletter. He wrote an article on the men behind the Counter-Reformation, and it had to do with the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. I had heard about the Knights of Malta. To tell you the truth, I thought it was comical, sort of like out of Gilbert and Sullivan. Never took it seriously, which is a mistake. A person should really study something if other people are trying to teach you about that subject and not pass it off. Well, Kevin Coogan wrote this wonderful article linking all of the military people and the Defense Department people and the CIA as being part of the military branch of the Vatican. The Vatican has had the Knights of Malta for 1,000 years. They have two segments, and people think of the Vatican as a religious institution. And we know, certainly at the time of World War II and with Hitler and with Franco, it was very political, and it's very political today. Well, the Knights of Malta was set up to preserve the Vatican, one branch of it. It takes care of the religious functions of baptism, what the nuns can do or can't do, remarriage, abortion, etc., religious policy. And then if the Vatican or the Roman Empire, the Roman Church, is in danger, the military arm defends the Roman Empire, the Roman Vatican Catholic religion, the group that wants to take control of the minds and hearts of the people through, if not religious purposes, with religious purposes, then through the military. Now, some of the people that Kevin called attention to who have been knighted by the Knights of Malta are people like James Angleton, who actually set up Israel, worked with the counterintelligence, worked with the people that killed John Kennedy, CIA counterintelligence, Robert Ablanalp, A-B-P-L-A-N-A-L-P, man who lives in the Caribbean, close associate of Richard Nixon's who bought his homes and so forth. You might say that the funds for Tricia Nixon's house or Julie Nixon's house in Washington were bought by Vatican connected links. The Ablanalp has been a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, and he, along with Bibi Rabosa, have carved in Richard Nixon's career ever since he ran for a member of the House of Representatives. Joseph Bettinger, B-E-T-T-I-N-G-E-R, who founded the Bilderberg Society, along with Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. Prince Bernhard was part of Hitler's Gestapo. He was a part of IG Farben. William Buckley, James Buckley, William Casey, our CIA director, who was going to toughen his muscles in Central America. Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's chief of intelligence, after a bloody war where 80 million people were killed or affected. He was then knighted by the Vatican and then brought to the United States by William Donovan and Alan Dulles to form our National Security Council and CIA. Gehlen was knighted by the Vatican after the war atrocities, not before. They didn't make a mistake. They knighted him, then sent him to America with their blessings. Wild Bill Donovan, who was bringing the mafia into Italy after the war, as if they needed bring them from America to Italy, who was the head of the OSS and formed the CIA. Peter Flanagan from Nixon's team. J. Peter Grace is the American agent in charge of Vatican connections. And, of course, he's the business partner of Otto Ambrose, the IG Farben, Zyklon B chemical gases for extermination. See, there's a close link between the church members who've been knighted and the plans for genocide and mass murder based upon what they did in the past. Joseph Kennedy was a member of the Knights of Malta. John and Robert were not. John McCone of Bechtel McCone, the Atomic Energy, who was the CIA director when Kennedy was killed and director of ITT when Allende was ordered, murdered by Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon and team. A Knight of Malta from 20th Century Fox, there was Spyro Skouras, Michael Sindona, God's Banker, John Volpe, U.S. Ambassador to Italy, then Secretary of Transportation Vernon Walters, I referred to him last year as the roving snake for the CIA, the Defense Department, Deputy Director of CIA at the time of Watergate. It seems that William Clark, the National Security Advisor, our CIA Director, our heads of Freedom, Radio Free Europe, Freedom of Information, and not Freedom of Information, the Radio Free Europe and the information propaganda machines that go out against the Soviet Union are run by people knighted and with loyalty to the Knights of Malta. They actually have a building just a few blocks from the Vatican. It's only a small building, and they have a ceremony where they take in various knights. Last year, Alexander Haig was among the Knights of Malta. Their allegiance is to the Vatican and then the government, and I question their service to America and the policies they make, and certainly nobody has separated the Catholic religious knighthood. Two postage stamps, two passports, one to the Vatican and one to the Roman Catholic Church and one to the United States. Where do they merge and where do they conflict? And Ronald Reagan, whose brother was in the Vatican recently, I had that on the broadcast with Moon, Reagan is a very strong Catholic, and he was with a member, the president of the college that Reagan went to, which was a Christian college. So there is not the separation of church and state that we are led to believe in. The church is getting stronger and overtaking the state. And that's what we talked about for 2 weeks consecutively last year at this time. Just some quick items on the news for so-called superstars in the media that are getting attention. One I referred to was William Holden. There's a new book coming out. Of course, we'll talk about and review it, by Bob Thomas, called The Golden Boy, The Untold Story of William Holden. Now we have The Untold Story of Errol Flynn by Charles Higham. This one tells about certain things he did, perform missions for the government, so secretive he couldn't talk about them, even to a psychiatrist, worked for the CIA. I mentioned before that he was a partner of Mr. Khashoggi from Lockheed and the international spy connections a long way back. William Holden, best man at Ronald Reagan's wedding. A book is coming out. I keep getting letters requesting me to update the Holden story. I haven't had time, but I'll incorporate what I have soon with the book coming out. Then another story, New York Post. Yankee owner George Steinbrenner has emerged in a mysterious national security matter, which an ex-FBI agent says could embarrass the government if exposed. It has to do with frauds, racketeers, business dealings, and matters going on down in Tampa, Florida. Remember when I talked about the Air Florida crash and the connections to Tampa, Florida, and Mr. Williams, who mysteriously died, that connected to banks that were linked to the baseball teams in the West Coast and back east? Well, there's a big story with these connections with the syndicate, and also, I think, with the crash of Air Florida. They purposely let one man die and didn't want to identify him, and he was the investigator for the bank that pertains to Steinbrenner and other people's affairs, and they didn't want the media to say who he was, and he felt was allowed to sink into the ice. Another story, officials closed the bank, one's headed by Johnny Carson. I haven't even had a chance to do the mob connections of Johnny Carson to a bank, the Commercial Bank of California. Carson and DeLorean and these connections of the cocaine to Hollywood are tremendous, and I did one program as John DeLorean delivering Hollywood. Well, Carson closed his bank real fast. It's taken over by another bank, and we'll do more on the Carson connections. Very important, the NBC connections, because John Belushi was working for NBC and then was cut out of Saturday Night Live and then was cut out of this planet Earth. And I feel that Ms. Smith, who was with him, and the cocaine connections, the true story has to really be told on why the FBI and the LAPD released her, and I understand the charges have been dropped now, and they can't bring her back to Hollywood. She can say, I killed him, and they can't really do anything with her because she would make the connections up to the very highest levels of Hollywood, where, again, the LAPD have their hit squads of people to die, and they're not going to expose the people they hired to kill the people they want to get rid of. So there's nothing going in the John Belushi case. Another story, DeLorean wanted to buy heroin. It tells about his Asian heroin and his Columbia cocaine. And I do want to update the John DeLorean soon and the links that I have not put on the air but suggested between the possible controversy between Tylenol, Johnson & Johnson, and the Sterling drug, the aspirin people. the geographical connections, the banking connections overlap in the DeLorean case and in the Tylenol case. And that, again, is why the Tylenol case is hushed up. You don't hear anything about the prosecution, the seven people that died. It's like it never happened, like the John Belushi murder. They're hoping it'll go away. So we'll do more, but it's interesting. Big names like Johnny Carson, John DeLorean, who worked for General Motors, Steinbrenner of the Yankees, owns the New York Yankees, and a lot of other things, and William Holden with his strong Hollywood connections from Ronald Reagan on down with Khashoggi and Lockheed and the international spy ring. What you get are these well-known figures in entertainment, in industries like the General Motors or in the sports, all coming together, and the common denominator are not only the drugs, but the wipeout teams that they're surrounded around and the scandals, the periphery of the murders around them by the same people that they're dealing their drugs with. So that these cases surface, they get a lot of attention, and then they go in limbo. A new book came out, changing the subject now, but not changing it because it's related to what I've mentioned earlier and keeps going on. A new book called Contract on America, The Mafia Murders of John and Robert Kennedy by David E. S-C-H-E-I-M, Scheim, David Scheim. He held a press conference at the President's Room in the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., April the 12th, on Contract of America. And he sent me a letter with his home phone number and his office phone number. I've heard about your work on the RFK case for many years, and he asked me my opinion of his new book and certain evidence that he had in the JFK murder. Interesting, the book is published, and he has a press conference, and he asked me for information. If he asked me before, it would change the whole book, or he'd be accused of keeping it out. So he writes, I'm particularly interested in new evidence about Thane Caesar, blah, blah, blah. Okay, introduction to the book. A clearly presented, flawlessly documented expose of who performed the murder is all that can justify yet another book on the much-confounded Kennedy assassination riddle. How presumptuous, and what a bunch of BS. The only thing that can justify another book. You can thoroughly document with commission hearings and exhibits, 26 volumes and 23,000 pages, and not have an accurate description of who killed John Kennedy. And this doesn't justify yet another book. You could write another book on John Kennedy just asking the questions that were never asked and not have a single document under it, just the parts left out. Now, the author, who is David Scheim? This looks exactly like Robert Sam Ansem's book, They've Killed the President, that was a computerized, computer-assisted book. If you had a conversation with Ansem, you know that he doesn't know anything about what's in that book. I often suspected that Gordon Novell and Bernard Fensterwald and Mary Farrell had a hand in that one. I don't know, but I suspect it because she keeps these accurate files of the people on the periphery of who's involved, and then they write these books as layers and layers of cover-up, as if you think, yeah, I'll put a body in the ground, everyone take a shovel and put a piece of dirt on it, and nobody will ever find the body. This looks exactly like a Pentagon military Navy intelligence book. Doesn't mean there things in there aren't good. It's like Bernard Fensterwald's book. He's got one on conspiracies, and it's a very good book, coincidence or conspiracy, a very good book, very valuable book. They don't know that every time they put out a piece of information, it adds to other pieces. They think, well, this will put the layer on, this is the icing, and don't look into the recipe of the cake. Mr. Scheim is just 35 years old, and he went to Rochester, University of Rochester, Phi Beta Kappa, summa cum laude, studied mathematics at MIT, went into military service for 2 years while he was working on Contract of America. As Philip Agee says, those are the 2 years you go into the CIA and they give you a sheepskin that you're in the military. He's writing this book on the guy on the mafia while he's working for the military. Then he goes back to MIT, gets a doctorate, goes to business in Boston, runs computers, then goes to the biology lab at Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory, New Mexico, heaven help us, and then ends up at the National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, a real CIA front that was funding mind control and brain experiments. and is a computer systems analyst. To add insult to injury, the description tells he's an Orthodox Jewish Jew who belongs to a congregation in Silver Springs. Well, Roy Cohn's Jewish, and so is Louis Neiser, and so are a bunch of mumsers, if you know the Yiddish word for rotten. So what? It's just too bad that he has an introduction written in Hebrew. I thought, oh my God, this is just what the Jews need, you know? Anyway, I looked up his index and looked through the book, and of course, it's okay if you want to know the mafia connection. I looked up Mo Dallas. You see, Robert Blakey writes the introduction for this book. Everybody should read this book. Blakey headed the House Select Committee on Assassinations. Blakey refused to take the testimony of Robert Byron Watson, who we'll talk about for the remaining of this program in a few minutes, who fingers Representative Larry McDonald in Congress as working with the people who killed John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, who's into drug dealing in South America and Lebanon and Chile and Mexico, heroin, cocaine, you name it, marijuana. And he doesn't talk about Robert Mayhew from the Howard Hughes Organization, who lived in Mo Dallas's home in Vegas, or Louis Neiser, who represents Lacoste and the crime syndicate down near San Diego, or Earl Warren, who was put in by Murray Chotiner, of organized crime. If you're going to write about crime, write about Roy Cohn and Permandex and the links of mobster Roy Cohn to organized crime throughout his entire career. Now, they have two pages. He has two pages on Roy Cohn, but nothing about Permandex. He's got a lot on Nixon and the mafia, but Nixon's sort of out, and he's so grossly mafia that they can afford to have some of his connections. Now, as far back as 1979, this was broadcast 370. I did a triangle of 9 points to get up to a pyramid, really, to climb 9 steps to who killed John Kennedy, how you get to it. You can order that broadcast if you want. Briefly, the first story was that Lee Harvey Oswald was a loner. You know, he was jealous of Kennedy and Jackie and all that crap. And then the second was, well, Fidel Castro wanted Kennedy dead because the CIA and Robert Kennedy were trying to kill Castro. And that theory was thrown out by the House Select Committee in 1977. And also that the KGB planted Oswald and wanted Kennedy dead. They didn't say why it would make sense except for Kennedy's missile stance or I am a Berliner speech. So that was ruled out. It wasn't Castro. It wasn't the KGB. Oswald didn't do it alone. And the fourth cover would be organized crime and the syndicate and the revenge for the Kennedys going after the mafia and for kicking the mafia out of Havana and not going back to invade Havana to make it the stronghold for prostitution and pornography and narcotics so close to Florida. So this is the level he's at, number four. I've got 5 more steps to go to. And this is a Phi Beta Kappa cum laude MIT. So you can imagine how the educated elite in this country can figure something out. The next one is the Anti-Castro Cubans' revenge for the Bay of Pigs fiasco. But the Anti-Castro Cubans, such as Mr. Martinez, who was just cleared by Ronald Reagan for his Watergate crimes, or that gang that go back to Dallas, they haven't really touched on them as being part of the government, which they were then and they are now. Then you get to the really sophisticated area of Division 5 of the FBI, of the Internal Security, and William Sullivan, and the links to the Defense Intelligence Agency, to General Dynamics, and to Bell Helicopter in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, working with Oswald and Oswald doubles, and J. Edgar Hoover's School for Assassins down in Oahu, Mexico, and the Torbett document. Then you get a little higher up to Navy intelligence with John Connolly and Fred Korth and Lee Harvey Oswald and the U-2 flights and the Minsk connections and the CIA Defense Industries Command. Then you really want to put together at the 8th level of that pyramid. You're almost at the top. When you get to the international connections of J. Edgar Hoover with Interpol and Mr. Heydrich, those connections he had, and Kaltenbrunner and Martin Bormann down there in South America, and the Argentine Minsk connections, and the New Orleans, Clay Shaw, the international trademark, Martin Bormann, and the CIA down in Argentina, and working with Carlos Marcello. See, they didn't work separately. They worked through Carlos Marcello and David Ferry. But you have to acknowledge the crime syndicate and go a little further And then you get to the Pentagon, where Mr. Rudolf August Winokur, the German, wrote the Warren Report, the minutes of the meetings, who should write it? Mr. Winokur. So this book is about the mafia. So what? An octopus has 8 legs. I think an octopus could probably live with 7. So if you took the whole book and threw it in the river, you would still have a lot of work to do on who killed John Kennedy and the octopus would survive. This isn't it. He says the motive was that the Kennedys launched a crusade against organized crime in the summer of 1962, where the New Orleans mafia boss Carlos Marcello met with Santos Trafficana and Jimmy Hoffa. That's true. They all met there in 1962. But in 1962, in the summer, the Young Americans for Freedom that was formed in 1960 came over from Munich, Germany, to Robert Morris of Navy Intelligence. We've talked about this before a few weeks ago. And Colonel Charles Willoughby working with Young Americans for Freedom. And Ronald Reagan was on the early board. And they bring in a killer team not only to wipe up and clean up, but to keep the computer system going. Richard Vagary with the computerized data that goes to Larry McDonald and then goes to Bobby Inman, and we'll talk about those people. Sure, the summer of 62 was busy, but while one hand was knitting something, the other hand was crocheting, and they all come together. It wasn't a single group that some mafia met in 62. Why did he leave out what else happened in the summer of 62? Then he tells about Jack Ruby's contacts with the mafia and his suggestion that he wants to tell the Warren Commission what happened, and they sort of put him off. What he wanted to tell them was that an organization existed, which was the John Birch Society, and they suggest that he hinted of a conspiracy in his transcripts to the Warren Commission. He didn't hint. He told Earl Warren and Gerald Ford and Leon Jaworski there's an organization here in town, and they want to take over the government because the Axe idea, they'll have control of the government. They're violently anti-Semitic. They're going to replay the pogroms in the Tsarist Russia. Pogrom meaning tearing into Jewish homes, burning them down, like the Night of Long Knives in Germany that came from the Tsarist regime techniques. And they're getting ready now. The Posse Comitatus, the international network, the computerized list of victims, the death squads. And he warned, and they walked away. He didn't warn them about his mob connections or his Havana connections or his gun running. He didn't warn them about the syndicate like Valachi. Valachi said, take me in and I'll talk about the syndicate. He sent out a note on a match folder that saying Lyndon Johnson was involved. He didn't say Bobby Baker or the crime syndicate. He meant the President of the United States, which appointed the Warren Commission with Alan Dulles, who brought in these Nazis and worked with them while the war was going on. And John J. McCloy, who was totally 100% Nazi fascist on the Warren Commission, and Leon Jaworski helping them. There's a notorious list of right-wingers there. Mr. Russell from Georgia. And Jack Ruby was warning them about was the fascists. He wasn't warning them about the mafia. He knows better than that. So this is what he is saying in this book. And then to top it off, he says 7 Harvard student interns assisted Shime's 10-year investigation, checking each of the book's 5,000-cited references. And Mr. G. Robert Blakey lauds them on this contract of America that should be read by everyone. 7 Harvard students, let's give them names. Is there Kramer's son, Henry Kissinger's daughter? Is there an Anna Kissinger? Make up a first name of Kissinger. Kissinger from Harvard, Sven Kramer. He's old enough to have kids at Harvard. Richard Pipes, head of the Russian department. Alexander Haig went to West Point, but he was the protege of Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger and the institute that set up that think tank at Harvard for Henry Kissinger by Nelson Rockefeller, with George McBundy and the spies from Harvard all involved in the Kennedy assassination. Michael Payne, a third-generation Harvard physicist, worked for Bell Helicopter for Walter Dornberger, the Nazi that was to be hung at Nuremberg in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and Lee Oswald lived at their home. Marina Oswald lived with Ruth and Michael Payne from Harvard, third generation. So do the Paynes have another son at Harvard, or Priscilla Johnson, who was in the Soviet Union as an agent of the CIA, the journalist, who later literally almost, I believe Marina was put under mind control or drug in Sedona, Arizona. She was an absolute zombie under the control of Priscilla Johnson from Harvard. And John McCloy, I mentioned last week, has his 10 Germans coming to Harvard with fundings from Volkswagen Corporation. Harvard was full of people that killed John Kennedy. So you get the Kissingers, the Kramers, the Pipes, the Hagues, the Paines, Priscilla Johnson, the McCloys. Add it all up. What do you have? Seven Harvard people so dedicated that they only look for the mafia? You know, years ago, you go looking for the Jew, or you look for the mafia, or you look for the red. Why don't they turn around 180 degrees and look where it really is? I mean, there's so much information if they wanted it. But you'll learn something from the book. You'll get some points out of it. I think it's very good that he went into such detail on Ruby's ties to the mafia and took all the mafia work out of the Warren Commission hearings, because then the next step we have to do, which makes it much easier, is to link those agents of the mafia to the Central Intelligence Agency, and you're going up that pyramid that I've had designed a long time ago. I figured that out. I've been working on this 20 years, and I figured it out 18 years ago. And I've been putting in more pieces of the puzzle every single week. Now, an example of the mafia and the Central Intelligence Agency and the goon squads, a perfect example, came out in the Los Angeles Herald this week called The Life and Times of Klaus Barbie. This is May 27th, 1983. They say that Klaus Barbie was selected as the next Führer to run the world by our intelligence agencies and by himself. He masterminded Bolivia's cocaine traffic. He's the mastermind behind the Bolivian cocaine traffic. And third, he has reported to the Central Intelligence Agency for 11 years, starting in 1971 up through 82. Now, as soon as Richard Nixon was president and the Kennedys were out, it was Operation Intercept with Hunt and Liddy. It was opening up the dope traffic to the Shah of Iran, the multi-million-dollar Southeast Asian and the Middle Eastern dope and narcotics, and Nixon paid off for his Nazi connections and his dope connections. And the point is that this Klaus Barbie was strong Nazi, and then they say he had a 6,000-man Nazi paramilitary unit for drug operations and death squads in Bolivia alone. Now, there's a 6,000-man in Argentina. There's one in Peru. There's one in El Salvador. There's Nicaragua, Guatemala. They're all linked together. But the connection here in this one article is Nazi, the next Führer, paramilitary army, 6,000 of them, also Nazi, international king of the cocaine, narcotics, government, Central Intelligence Agency, reporting to them regularly. Now, William Donovan of the Knights of Malta let these people out of Europe and sent them to these countries. The Vatican wrote their passports very nicely. So you get the combination of the Vatican, the Knights of Malta, the killer teams, the OSS that becomes the CIA, and with Reinhard Gehlen forming the CIA, why wouldn't Klaus Barbie be working for the CIA and report directly for the past 11 years? A very important article because it hits all the bases that I've been talking about and all the bases that are left out of this computerized book that seems oh so pat and oh so sophisticated. Now, the National Examiner had a story, which I did for them, with Cliff Leindecker and Lewis Clifton this week. By the time you get this broadcast, it will be off the stands, but I make them available for people who miss them. I would like you to buy the magazine when it's on the stand and support them for printing this kind of material, even if it's a little bit. But many of you miss it. You don't see it on the stand. So you can send a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, and I'll enclose the article. Just say what you want, because I get so many letters now and requests for reprints. The article is titled Assassination Link Between Grace, the Pope, and Gandhi. And this is the first time outside of my realist article presented the LA Press Club in the summer of 72, where the death squads are linked to the Gehlen organization who masterminds the people who want to stop world peace. And they've got a picture. This is the supermarket liquor store trade, Middle America, remember. They have a picture of Reinhard Gehlen. It says, Gehlen, Nazi's chief of intelligence is mastermind behind the attempts to stop world peace. And the quotations are very good in this article. They're all Mae Brussel, linking the intent of this Nazi conspiracy to take over the world. This is the way it begins. Startling evidence of the murders of these three and also the attempt on the Pope is a depraved Nazi conspiracy to take over the world. Was side by side is the expose of the CIA that Klaus Barbie wanted to be the next Führer. And it tells how even when Reinhard Gehlen died in June of 79, the Gehlen organization was involved in assassinations and supplied the weapon of a Shah who tried to kill the Pope. Well, the Los Angeles Times had a story Sunday, May 29th, the Bulgarian connections falling through, Marvin Kalb is backing off, and they don't have any links of the, which they admit is a conspiracy, but they have interviewed various people, and the gun has been traced, it's in the newspapers, to the Gehlen organization. And we've had that on the broadcast, but they printed it in this story. And it tells how they use refugees from countries taken over by the communists, like anti-Castro Cubans or people from Hungary or Vietnam or Laos or white Russians or czarists from the Soviet Union, because they make a righteous army. They want to go back to their homeland, and they can be used as killers or to help the killers. We'll take a one-minute break now, and then we'll get back on with a half hour of that very important story and stories in the Los Angeles Times that I'll be doing a lot of in the next weeks to come, but I did want to update you on these items.